Does it work better when I turn the mic on? Excellent. All right. And you can hear me scratch my chest as well, which is wonderful. Now, I've come here from the RepRap project, and we use micros and we use Arduinos, and we've done a lot of work on them. And I'm going to tell you all about the fun and games we had developing with the Arduino, and seeing as we started work on the RepRap before there was an Arduino, that was tricky at one point. So we will start with a brief roundup of the RepRap stuff so you understand what it is. Okay, you've seen the shiny one over there. That is based on the original Mark I design. The original brief was to design a machine that makes utilitarian objects. It uses bits that you can get anywhere, even in New Zealand. And the idea was to also make it build electronics, which we haven't exactly done yet, but we're still aiming for that. And it builds its own unique components, which indeed it does. And we've now got several generations of machine. The basic idea is that you move this print head around in 3D, and then you have a bed which the which plastic material is squirted out onto, and the bed moves up and down, so you can print objects one layer at a time. If people would like to see some of these objects, I can arrange for a few to be passed around. Anybody keen on that? Yep, okay. Here you are. If you want to, yeah, you can pass them around. We've got, we even got something for the 3D at BSD crowd here as well. They're actually models of whale's teeth. Sort of homage to Sea Shepherd. So the obviously X, Y, and Z dimensions, not Z, I'm New Zealand. And of course the time is the fourth dimension because we have to be moving at the right speed, otherwise you won't get the right depth of plastic deposited in a line. And it starts looking either like a spider's web or a big soggy blob, neither of which are very good. So we have a variety of cunning mechanisms. That one uses a screw mechanism to feed a filament into a heated nozzle. That one over there uses a stepper motor with ridges on the shaft and a pinch wheel to feed a filament into a heated nozzle. The net effect is pretty much the same, and the nozzle makes sure that the layers are deposited and fused together, so it won't peel apart very easily. And we have to keep track also of the feed rate of the mechanism, which adds a fifth dimension to things. So he actually lied, yes, it's a 5D printer, which is kind of cool. You wait till we start putting colors and stuff into it, then it'll get even more interesting. Okay, so here I am standing in front of the people who are obviously Arduino enthusiasts, and I have a small confession to make, which is when we started this, we used a PIC. In fact, we used several PICs, because PICs weren't quite up to the job in ones. So we had this ring of PICs using the RS-232 serial to pass packets around the ring, and your PC was just a link on the serial port, on the serial ring, and we had a PIC managing each stepper motor, and we had to design our own stepper boards because they weren't readily available. And yeah, it was quite fun to do with PICs. And this is the Mark I, which that one over there is based on. And we found a number of assembly problems and tricky bits and bugs located roughly there. And We did actually improve that, but the old microchip, you know, not fast enough, yeah. And the RAM, puny. The stack levels, no. And not enough pins, particularly if you spend most of your time passing signals around in loops and things like that. So we've been looking at the Arduino chip as soon as it sort of came up on the horizon. And basically, by the time that the riprap had actually reproduced, and that a parent riprap had successfully produced a child riprap, we'd actually moved over to using Arduino boards at that point. The current, I'll just wave a Mark II at you. This is probably a little large to pass around, but we're now looking at something like that as the Mark II. Considerably fewer parts, much easier to put together, this one's got two Arduinos on it, but you could probably do it with one. We did, however, encounter a few problems again during the... What am I going to kill? Yes, this machine was actually made by the child machine. So that machine itself is actually really third generation, not just a software iteration or design iteration. It really is a third generation machine. We ran into the same old problem. The Arduino was too small, and it didn't have enough memory, and there weren't enough pins. And so we developed the Sanguino, which we later discovered means I am bleeding, which we thought was appropriate, and they had this red PCB material we could use, and we thought, yeah, cool, we'll do that. So Zach Kirk and Hocken, or however you pronounce his surname, I don't, I just call him Zach, who produced the fabricator called the MakerBot. He designed this Sanguino board, and I believe he had a little help from Lady Ada with it. And it doesn't have the USB built on it, so that made it a lot cheaper, as long as you had some way of doing low voltage serial connections to it. Otherwise, you could buy a lead from Zach as well. And that's based on the 80 mega 644 core. It's got more pins and plenty more RAM, plenty more flash. More importantly, so we can put in some complex code for dealing with all this 5D stuff. Because what that allows us to do, once we start dealing with it as a five-dimensional problem, is it allows us to run the machine at the optimal speed, depending on which dimension needs to actually be addressed at the time. So if we have to run, if we have to extrude at a maximum speed, we can change the speed of movement of the head and axes and so forth to match. And what this means is that you can also put artificial limits on some of the parameters. So if you've ever played with stepper motors, you know that they make this curious noise as they operate. And so we changed the software a little so you could actually change the pitch of the noise generated by all the stepper motors in the riprap. And we did a pretty good Imperial Death March whilst printing Darth Vader's head, which was pretty awesome. Yeah, it's on YouTube. You can have a look. But then, in the traditional manner, we still find that for some people, the Sanguino design and the new the seed or something? Seedwino, that's the one. Yes. It's still not fast enough, and you can't run Linux on it, and there's not enough flash and all the rest of it. So there are also people sticking now ARM CPUs onto Arduino-compatible boards, right? So if you have a look at the Maple, which is on leaflabs.com, they just shipped last Christmas their first batch. They haven't quite got the software and IDE and everything sorted out, but apparently it runs Blink, so good. And I don't think it quite runs Linux yet, but you might be able to stick new C Linux on it or something like that. So you have these Arduinos growing to be, you know, mega processing, and I'm sure somebody will sort of network them in a hypercube or something later. But there are some people for whom this is not enough. Oh no. You would have thought 72 megahertz and 16 analog pins and 128K flash and all that would be brilliant, right? No, it's not. It's too big, right? There's lots of parts. It sucks power. And you try putting one of those things together, it's quite difficult. So the PIC makes an entry once more, all right? And there is now a board called a Pinguino, which uses the 18F4550 PIC, or the 2550 PIC. One's a skinny one, and one's a fat bit. And sure, they're not quite as powerful as an Arduino, but they are significantly cheaper, and they have, you know, significantly fewer parts. And the USB is a real USB, and it's built in. Okay? So that is the circuit board layer for a Pinguino. Right? Single layer board. You can make it at home. Alright? That is the circuit for the entire thing, including voltage regulation and USB port. Alright? So that should be simple enough for anybody. Well, we've designed some simpler things that go with it. Alright? We've started now to use various additional third party things in the rep wrap. Like I mentioned earlier, the stepper driver boards, couldn't get them, now you can. You can get the Polu driver and the Easy driver from our friends at SparkFun. And they work great, so we don't actually have to design those anymore. But if you get all these wonderfully pre-assembled boards, you know, some people are averse to soldering. So I wanted to switch the heater for the RepRap on and off, and that can take amps, particularly when you accidentally make it grow a nice cherry orangey color, and you know it hardly ever catches fire, not for a couple of years anyway. And so I took a TIP 120 transistor and a diode and a resistor, and I stuck them in terminal strip, and it worked, but it got a bit warm, so I needed a heat sink, and there were these horrible spoons in the kitchen drawer. So I snap the head off the spoon and I drill a hole in it. Spoons make really good heat sinks. And we also needed a fan driver as well. So obviously you've got to get one of the forks too and take the top off that and use that as a heat sink on the fan driver. And yeah, you get the general idea. But the big thing is no soldering required for doing that. So you can actually use your Arduino to drive one of those. And you poke the free wire straight into the socket of the Arduino in the traditional manner, and you've got a no soldering driver that will do 4 amps. It's quite cool. Just look up spoon driver on the web, you'll find it. And that should be simple enough for anyone. Well, almost anyone. And if you want to find out anything about what we've done, the whole thing is open source. Absolutely everything, toolchain, the works. So just go to the reprap.org site and have a look there, and it'll be there, how to build repraps with Arduinos, Sanguinos, whatever. Free drafting packages, everything that you could want. And if you can't find it there, then drop me an email and I'll try and sort you out. I am anticipating there are going to be a truckload of questions, and they're mostly going to be about RepRap. You may start now. Question. Yes, Patrick. Would anyone like to see one running?
Yes.
Okay, because you got yours warmed up, Patrick? 10 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes. There are some items here. We can show you the sort of things that one can make with. I'll just wake Patrick up over there. It makes stuff that's quite strong enough to produce catapults with. We are also now making things in metal as a sort of kind of a cheat. We've discovered that this stuff evaporates away if you embed it in plaster and bake it in the oven. Right? So you provide an exit hole for the plastic to drain out. And then you also put in a bean tin with some pewter in it. Right? In the oven when it's baking. And then when all the plastic stops dribbling out, you turn it the other way up, you take the pewter in the bean tin, which is now molten, pour it in the hole, and ta-da, you have a metal replica when you smash the plaster. As long as you remember to wait about half an hour for the thing to cool down. Otherwise, you'll end up with a big silver puddle on the floor. We've managed to print a whistle which has a pea inside it. So, I don't want to flirt too hard or I'd deafen the front row. We can pass that one around. And somebody has got a new model extruder somewhere. So we've been building new designs of extruders, new designs of parts. People have been making replacement parts for old designs of rep wraps and modifying the heck out of the design to make bits from the old machine compatible with the new machine and everything. It's wonderful. I thought we had something else in here, but we don't. My little paper knife that I made, because the TSA was so nice in smashing my stuff last time I came to an LCA. So you can scale this up as big as you want. And they don't actually show up on X-ray. So, nor does the catapult, I know, because I went through that in my pocket. So, yeah. Yeah. I'm an engineer, not a terrorist. Learn to tell the difference. Right. While he's getting that going. Also, I'm now powering rep wraps off OLPCs. So the idea is, of course, to get them into the developing world eventually. So if we can get them going on little computers and cell phones and whatever, that's good. Go in the red shirt there, please. Yes. The problem with iPhones is that really you are at the mercy of Apple as to whether you're allowed to distribute the software. But yes, for things like Android phones and stuff, yeah, the idea is to do that. And I'm actually experimenting with a Bluetooth serial port at home because that seems to be the only way you're going to connect a peripheral device into a USB port on a phone, because for some reason phone and PDA manufacturers don't seem to assume that your PDA or phone is going to ever be a USB host. Bluetooth. You first, sir. Are there a set of designs and things published to make a rep wrap?
Or
yes, all the little artifacts and so forth. Yes, if you go to thingiverse.com, you will find lots and lots of 3D objects that are CC licensed or GPL licensed that you can just download and print out. And yes, there is a Pirate Bay. There is a Pirate Bay version coming soon, I'm told. Nothing to do with this, and don't want to touch it with a 20-foot barge pole. Not even someone else's 20-foot barge pole. Yes, sir. How long does...
Well, the machine,
right. If I wanted to use that machine to print a copy of itself, how long would it take to print the parts? Well, that one would take, it takes at least half the time of the previous version, because that version, because it uses a much quieter extruder and much quieter steppers, has a higher spouse approval factor. And you can leave it running at night, which doubles your productivity and lessens the amount of bruises. So that would probably take about 2 weeks to print out a full set of parts that work. You could probably do it in less if you trusted your machine to stay up long enough to print, say, a whole bed full of parts at once. But I don't do that because we get power cuts and I have 7 cats. One more question. Yes, sir.
Are the cats curious about the machine or frightened by it?
They don't like the new Model 2, version 2, which is called a Mendel, after Gregor Mendel, the mad Austrian geneticist guy, because there's not enough room under it for the cat to shelter. I mean, we did once find one cat underneath the platform of the Darwin, and the other cat sat on top of the Darwin. Obviously, the Darwin wasn't running at that point, but we have had cats go to sleep under the bed, and the bed come frighteningly close to top of the cat. So yes, but they don't try to attack it very much. They go for the filament occasionally because it moves interestingly, but not the rat itself. Yes, I think that was it, wasn't it? It'll be an open day, so if you want to tinker with it and see it in action, then we'll do it there. Meanwhile, Patrick's got his machine probably warmed up by now. Excellent. Okay. Thank you very much.